Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
We continue our series that we've entitled Moment of Truth. And the moment of truth may be a little less clear to see, but there is one in the text. It's a story from Jesus' life. It's really the only story that's included in Scripture that occurs between the occasion and the early birth of Jesus and when he becomes a young man about age 30 beginning his public ministry. So we have this long period of time where we don't really know what all is happening, but we do find out this one occasion that is in front of us. And I just want to kind of read through this passage with you and make a couple comments, and then we'll get into what we're really going to really zero in on today. Verse 41, Luke chapter 2. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Now, it'll be significant, the fact that that was a part of their regular pattern. Verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. Don't you hate losing something? Does that bother you to lose something? Now, you know, for us, it's something kind of humorous. I have an electric screwdriver. Looks like that little drill. And I lost it about 3 weeks ago. And I've been really bothered by that. I mean, because you have that, you know how it is, guys. You like rule the world when you zzz, you know, that sort of thing. So yesterday my wife was looking for something that was also misplaced. We were looking through some storage in our garage, and so she's looking in one area, and I'm looking at the other, and I ran into my screwdriver. I said, I found it! She said, oh, great, you found it. And she looks over, it was my screwdriver, not what she was looking for. So if you'll join me in prayer that the other thing will be found, that would be great. But they lost their child. They lost their child. Verse 44, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. Oh, this is, we'll talk about it. That's a wild place to be. 45, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers, so that when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. But he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Today we want to talk about spiritual mission, the spiritual mission. And this is really Mary and Joseph's moment of truth, although this is something she struggled with. It says there in the text, they didn't understand. She kept these things in her heart. Even when Jesus was an adult and doing ministry and great things, you remember Jesus' brothers and his mother came. They were going to take him home. They thought he was just kind of like off the rails. You need to come on home. That's when Jesus says, who is my brother and who's my mother and so forth. Because he had a spiritual mission and one that they were informed of when Jesus was announced and when Jesus was born, that he would fulfill the promises to David, that he would, as the angel appeared to Joseph knowing, of course, that Jesus was not his biological son, Mary knowing that as well, an angel comes and says, he shall save his people from their sins. He'll be called Emmanuel, God with us. That indeed he had a spiritual mission. And that's what she had in that moment. Am I going to accept that? Am I going to cooperate with that? How am I going to relate to that? But then you find that she was there even at Jesus' crucifixion. She certainly was aware of the resurrection. And when it says she kept these things in her heart, one of the things that she has given a gift to us is simply this, that the story of Jesus in these early days, the account of his the announcing and the birth and so forth, even the journey where Mary goes and visits with Elizabeth, who's carrying John the Baptist, all that was delivered through Mary to Luke the physician. And sometimes it's been said that maybe you tell your doctor some things you wouldn't tell anyone else because he's the one that gets this message, so that we have this information preserved for us, and now in the scripture by the Spirit of God, that we know this is the reality that Jesus was conceived of a virgin, born and fulfilling all these promises of the Old Testament. But for us, where do we fit into that? Now, it's without doubt that Jesus' spiritual mission was one of a kind, unlike anything you and I experience. But in some cases, in some ways, we do have an engagement in a spiritual mission. And that engagement is simply this. This is our job as parents. This is our job as a church. This is our job as people. And simply this. We must, with God's help, see our children turn into followers of Jesus Christ. That they would follow Him. That they would come to believe in Him, and they would serve Him and fulfill whatever the mission God particularly has for them in their lives. So that's what I want to learn today, is how we can engage in the necessity of engaging in this spiritual mission, and particularly on this Say Yes Sunday, we have some practical ways for us to engage in that. So we're going to go back through the story a bit and kind of look at some of these points. But first of all, we need to adopt a spiritual view of the children that are around us. And we begin with this part of that spiritual view, that God intends more than their current status. Now, if you go back to the text, it says they went to the Feast of Passover every year, it says, and then 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. According to the law of the Old Testament, you were required to make a trip to Jerusalem to show up before God at the temple and so forth in this time of the Passover. So they were doing this regularly, and then now Jesus is 12 years old, and that was a point in which they sort of viewed it that he was now entering into maturity, entering sort of into adulthood, although still under parental authority. But he was now old enough, a child was old enough, so oftentimes that was the time that a child would now be taken to Jerusalem as part of this. Perhaps it was the first time he was taken to the Passover in this way, and then it would become a yearly, annual thing for him going forward. So it says when they finished the days, as they returned, so here we go. Now, you understand that for all Jewish people, all the families would be making their way, and particularly from Galilee coming down. It'll be a bit of a journey, about the distance between Galilee and Jerusalem, about the difference between here and Clarksburg, if you want to use your West Virginia geography, something relative to that. And they would travel on foot, so it would be a bit of a journey, and they would come, and you would travel along with your extended family. You would travel along with your friends and your neighbors and just sort of this big entourage going along, and they do all that the Passover required while they were there, and they're getting ready to go back home. It says, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey. How do you think that day went when they're getting ready to, you know, we're going to pull over and park for the night, okay? You seen Jesus? I thought he was with you. I thought he was with you. Well, let's ask our friends. Let's ask our relatives. And they ask and they ask and ask. And finally, that moment of realization, he is not here. How do you feel at that moment? Mama, how would you feel at that moment? I can't wait to find him. Or I need to find him. You know, it could be either extreme of, or maybe all those emotions mixed together. So finally, they realize he's not with them. It says in verse 45, when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. So they got to do another day's journey back to Jerusalem, and they start looking for him. Where would you look for a 12-year-old? Where would you look? Well, where are the children gathered? Are they up? You know, where would be the adventure? What trees would you want to climb? Where are they looking for him? So it's actually on the third day that they finally find him, and they find him in a place that they would not expect to find him because they probably were looking at his current status. He's a 12-year-old. And sometimes we look at our children as a 12-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old or whatever the age, and we fail to see that our responsibility is to encourage and to do everything we can so that they will become a follower of Christ, a follower of Jesus. So we got to look beyond the current status, have a longer range view that they indeed have an eternal destiny and they indeed have a mission if they will accept it and cooperate with it in God's eternal kingdom. Secondly, we need to understand that God intends more than we could know. Now, I don't fault Mary and Joseph for missing the point. I really don't. I mean, how would you like to be the parents of a perfect child. Now, immediately some of you think, that would be, I'd sign me up for that. I'd like that. But then remember this, you are not a perfect parent raising a perfect child. And the only person that's going to be embarrassed is you. The only person that's going to be proven wrong is you. The only person that's going to have problems is you. Not an easy task, no doubt. But nonetheless, they did what they should have done, but they still had trouble understanding this. Because God can always do more than we can figure out with our minds. And it's sort of an interesting thing to think about what God can do with the generation that follows us. Where are they going to land? What are they going to do? What can they accomplish? What can they know? What can they see and experience that maybe we never will in this life? And ultimately, understanding that we spend just a mere fraction of our existence, and when you put it beside eternity, an infinitesimally small bit of time in this life, and we spend all eternity in the presence of the Lord, when there is no more night, as you sang about. You know, we need to think of that. And then lastly, God intends more than we might tend to expect. They were expecting that he was going to go home with them and do the chores and grow up and all that sort of thing. But where did they find him? It says in 46, now after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. I mean, I don't know where they got a clue to say, let's go back to the temple. Well, we were there for worship, and maybe they're asking around 12-year-old. Yeah, there's one over there. Something's going on. You might want to go check out over there. And it says they found him in the midst of the teachers. Now, this is like not just, you know, the local rabbi. This is like the elite of the elite in their system. These were the people who had all the degrees and all the learning and all the knowledge and all the prestige and all the, they had everything. And there's this 12-year-old. We're just having a conversation back and forth. He's asking questions, they can't answer. They're asking him questions, and they're getting some answers. And it's just this amazing thing. It says in 47, all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He's 12 years old. It exceeded their expectation. Well, we know in Jesus' case why, because we know who they were talking to. Jesus had all the answers, and he has the right to ask all the questions. But they didn't perceive him that way. Now, again, we have to put this in the context of our role as parents and people that want to pass on to the next generation, help them be followers of Jesus. But we need to expect more. Expect them to be a follower of Christ and do everything we can to cooperate in that. Now, that's a sort of preparatory because I want to share some things with you that I think are going to be even more practical. How do we need to not only have the spiritual viewpoint of our children, but also adopt a spiritual plan for our children. And this is for all of us, no matter if you're a parent, grandparent, have no children, your children have been raised and they're out of the house, whatever, we can all participate in this Sunday that we think about this gives us a great opportunity. So adopt a spiritual plan for children and then do the basics of spiritual development. Going to give Mary and Joseph some points here. It says in 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. What's unstated, which we understand to be true, because you remember when Jesus showed up in the synagogue in Nazareth, it was his home territory, and it was his home place, and there's a bit of controversy, and they had trouble accepting this one they saw grow up as to really be the Messiah, and so forth. But he went to synagogue every Sabbath. This was part of life. This was not only where they received spiritual instruction, but they also received their education. That's where they learned to read and to write and to study the scriptures and memorize the law of the Old Testament. So he was part of that, even though it's not stated here. But they had a regular routine in place that we on some level can emulate to be those that can contribute to the spiritual development and helping the next generation be followers of Jesus. Well, one of the things is they went where they should have gone. They went to the Passover. They went to the synagogue. And you've come this morning, so thank you. But we can be involved in the life of the church. We can be where God's Word is taught. We can take our children to places where the Word of God goes out in a way that's powerful and changing. And we can have an influence in that, and we need to adopt that spiritual view. Now, I'm going to throw a few statistics at you, may I? Let's think for a moment about influencers in children's lives, okay? Children and teens. The things that, at least we can measure by time, that influence them, okay? So let's start with the church, okay? Number one, there's the church. Here's what we're going to say about the church. Well, let's imagine that basically here for an hour on Sunday mornings, we have children's ministry and teen ministry on Sunday mornings. And let's assume an attendance frequency of 3 times per month, okay? 3 out of 4 Sundays, you're here. That would mean we would have opportunity to be with them over 12 months, about 36 hours. If you add into that a Wednesday program, 2 hours at three times per month, 72 hours per year, which is significant. That's not to be looked at as something bad or small. But it also says something about not only are we coming to church, but it says something about the frequency of our coming to church for our children. And that's something that I would just say we need to evaluate because, you know, when I was growing up, most things didn't happen on Sundays. You know, everything kind of shut down in our little town where I grew up, and church was about it. And maybe you could play some ball on Sunday afternoon if you find a few guys to play with you, but it wasn't everything open and free. Now we have all the competition, all the activities, especially for our children. So that's something we need to think about because you could double your frequency just by, you know, going from 2 to 4, so forth and so on. So let's think about school for a moment, okay? Average time in school for children is 6.5 hours per day, 180 days per year, which brings us to 1,170 hours per year in school. I'm glad the children are out here because they'd all moan at that point. Oh, nah, some of them wouldn't moan. However, the reality is that that's a lot of time and a significant time and time that we need to engage in and pray over. I'm glad that for several years we've tried to help parents, no matter how they choose to educate their children, to come alongside in some fashion to do that. For those in public school, we can't do everything, but we encourage them. Those of you that teach and work in public school, we want to pray for you and support you. But we have adopted a public school over in Kanawha City that we try to do things to encourage the teachers, help the students. We've done several programs along the way. Providing clothing and all sorts of things like that. We also have a homeschool group that we allow to use our building on Thursdays. There'll be about 90 kids in this building on this coming Thursday and their parents and doing some educational things. We also have supported a Christian school here in our area for many, many years as part of our support base. So we do those sorts of things. But then let's think about one more influencer. Let's think about their use of a screen, whether that's a phone or a tablet or whatever. Now, this is a statistic from teenagers, okay? The average teenager in America is on that screen 7.5 hours per day times 365 days a year, which leads to a total of 23,375 hours. And maybe you say, well, that seems shockingly high. Well, divide it in half, and it's still a big number. Take it to 25%, it's still a big number. And now, not everything that's coming through the screen is evil and bad. Some of it's going to be helpful and educational and uplifting. One of the things that we've done, if you've not taken advantage of this, this is your day of opportunity, okay? We at Christmas time the last 2 years have given anyone in our church family a free subscription to Right Now Media. Right Now Media is a streaming service of Christian content. They call themselves the Netflix of the Christian world. More than 20,000 video titles for families and individuals and couples and people in different stages of life. There's more than 2,000 titles on there specifically for children. So maybe you could get that and put some good content into their screens. All you have to do is go to our website, front page, find the link Right Now Media, follow the instructions, and you're off and running. It is free to you. But it also tells us that we as a church need to make use of those hours we have to support and come alongside our parents because they're the ones involved in all those other hours out there of influence. And we simply want to say this. We want to do what we can, but also you understand the primary person that is most influential in the spiritual development of children and helping them become followers of Christ is the parents that are raising them, just by mere hours, mere influence. And it's a tough task, but need to do that. What's some things you can do? Well, first of all, let's think about the next thing on our list. Don't miss what you can't see. And that is that spiritual development that's going on. Part of that is you just being the example in front of them of being a follower of Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, that certainly raises the possibility that they're going to be a follower of Christ. And sometimes we shy away from that. Sometimes we think, well, I don't have all the answers. Well, that's okay. Try to find what you can find, and I don't know is a good answer sometimes. You don't have to be perfect. By the way, your children already know that about you. They figured that out a long time ago. And it's not a question of being perfect or knowing all the answers. It's just being real, being honest, being authentic. But you be a follower of Christ. And then to bring into your home the spiritual dimension of them seeing your example, but also doing those things that we talk about all the time that Christian parents should do and all of us as people should be doing. Not just on Sundays, not just when we gather on a Wednesday, but all the time we need to spend some time in God's Word. We need to pray for and pray with those that are in our home. It'll strengthen your marriage, it'll strengthen your life, it'll strengthen your kids. It's incalculable. And then we just teach the principles that we're trying to live out. It's kind of like that that we talk about in Deuteronomy 6 where it says, you know, here's what you do. When you rise up and when you go to bed, when you sleep, that's when you talk about those spiritual realities in life. And we want to pray for our children, yes, but also part of what we do in this Say Yes situation, this campaign, is to also pray for parents. Do pick up one of the little sheets that's here when you pick up your card today, if you pick one up. It's giving you, it's just a little list of things that you can do. And one of the things we need to do is pray for the parents, that because they are the chief influencers. And when we have our hours as a church, we want to be quality, we want to be strategic, we want to be energetic, we want to be all those things to teach our children the truth as they're getting right now. But also, we need to help the parents take their responsibilities wisely and seriously. And then do all you can to support the plan. Support the plan, the spiritual development of moving forward. Let's go back to our story. Verse 48, so when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, now you got to kind of imagine your sort of semi-irritated, angry mother voice when you read this verse. Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Do you know what you've done to us for these 3 days? You know what we've been through? You've been having this conversation with these guys, and yeah, that's amazing, but what about us? And one of the reasons I think of all the things that could have been included in Scripture from the point of Jesus' birth until he begins his public ministry, the only account, the only narrative, the only story is this one, is to help us understand that his mission is a spiritual one. And parents are to engage in accepting and adopting and participating in the spiritual mission for our children, and the church comes alongside to help in that spiritual mission. And also to help his parents, one adoptive and one biological, to understand something about his spiritual mission. Look what he says in 49. Why did you seek me? Why were you looking for me? Well, and if they would have had a moment to answer the question, because we're going to take you home. There's chores to do. There's work to do. We've got to get there. Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Now she referenced his father in verse 48. Jesus referenced his father in verse 49. And he's trying to communicate to her, and he communicates to us that Jesus is on a mission to be the Savior of the world, a mission that if it was not accomplished, every one of us is lost for eternity, a mission that changes not only our direction in life, but our ultimate destiny in eternal life. This was mission critical. This is not just a quaint little story. I must be about my father's business. As I said earlier, he had an absolutely unique ministry, mission, but you and I need to be about our heavenly father's business as well. And really at the top of that list, or near the top, however you want to say it, is simply that we need to help the generation that comes after us be followers of Christ, which starts by us being followers of Christ, and we engaging in those basics of spiritual development, and we evaluate our time and our effort and our passion and all those sorts of things. We need to support, we need to serve, we need to pray. It says that they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them, verse 50, 51. Then he went down and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. Kind of sounds like Mary's kind of narrating this to the author to even be able to know that. And then we have verse 52, excuse me. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Isn't that an interesting thing? He was growing up physically in stature. He was growing up in this reality of his wisdom. He was growing up in this thing of his favor with God and man, his interpersonal relationships. You ever think about it? I mean, I know there's prophecy to fulfill, but Jesus could have shown up as an adult. But he went through the experience of growing and maturing to fully experience the human condition, because he's a high priest that knows what we go through. But also, he went through this experience to show the pattern that our children should go through and we should continue to grow through, that we are always growing. Not only physically, yes, but in our wisdom, our knowledge of Scripture, and in favor with God, that we're living a life pleasing to him, and we're having influence with others in our world. Their moment of truth was to come to this realization, and it's still in progress in their world, but understand that Jesus' mission was far more than just being their child that they had to raise. His mission was to save us from our sins. The mission we have, be followers of Christ. To come to the conclusion that the spiritual mission means that to do that, I need to be a follower of Christ. So, servant of God, today at the end of this service, we're going to come and we're going to sing, and when we're dismissed, I'm going to ask you to alter your normal departure pattern, all right? And only if you feel led. I don't want to coerce you. I don't want to manipulate you, but if you would be willing, many of you have done this for the last 9 years, but come and get one of these cards, and you say, I'm going to pray for that student or that teen. Pick up one of those sheets with some suggestions on it, and I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to cooperate in the spiritual mission by saying yes to committing to this young one. And most of you have been through this for multiple years, know what a blessing it has been. I appreciate Pastor Tim sharing a blessing from his own son, and I've heard so many others. I saw earlier at the beginning of the service, several of the children came up there and they were looking for their names on this table. Like, where am I on there? Oh, right there. So they're excited about it. Let me also say this. The beginning point of being a follower of Christ begins by becoming a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted him. His mission, his father's business, was to be the Savior, to die on the cross for pay for the sins of mankind, so that all who would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. If you've never taken that step of faith, you can do it right now in the privacy of your own heart. Maybe you need to humble yourself and admit you're a sinner. Understand that maybe you might look different and might have to behave different and all those sorts of things as you've become a follower of Christ, as he changes you. But it all begins by saying, I believe he died for me and I accept that. Accept that as what provides salvation to me. If you need help with that, or you want to talk to someone about that, I'd be available. Other pastors are available. Maybe a Christian friend or family member you've come with could have that same conversation. But that's the beginning point. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, continue to be a follower of Christ. Don't underestimate the role you can play in being a follower that influences other followers. And we have a very practical and very simple means to engage with the next generation. Why don't we pray together? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to walk through this story that is familiar to most of us. Lord Jesus was about his father's business, and we thank you for that being so. It's what provides an eternity with you and a life that's different. We pray, Father, that you would just bless these children as they are part of our church and part of our families. Pray for the children, the grandchildren that we love and want to see developed and come to be a follower of Christ. Help us as a church, Lord, to be on task, to do what we can, to do what we know you want to see accomplished in the generation to follow. Bless your people now as we seek to follow you in obedience in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.